It's April 18th, 2006, and President Representative Moses, Representative Guttenberg, and myself, Representative Weirach. Today, we have the pleasure of hearing from staff and our board members, or both staff and the Alaska Retirement Management Board members, who are providing what has been a long-anticipated report to the legislature on the current status of the public employees' retirement system and the teachers' employees' retirement systems, the liabilities and the assets related to those two systems. And Mr. Bader, who's going to come up first?
Mr. Chair, Gail Schubert, our chair, is online and has a few opening comments to make. And
okay.
Mr. Simmons and myself.
Why don't you come forward, and Mr. Bader, why don't you have a seat? Mr. Commissioner Corvus, were you here to participate or to only for questions?
Yes,
or?
Sir. Answer questions.
Okay.
Support.
Okay. And then Mr. Trivett, you're a member of the board. You want to come forward, please? And actually, Commissioner, why don't you come forward? And that'll save time. Ginny, can you get him another chair?
Yes.
And Representative Samuels is present. Ms. Schubert, are you in line?
Yes, I am.
Ms. Schubert, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for providing this information. The committee has been provided a report, and we also have it on a screen in front of us that Mr. Bader, you're going to work through. So, Ms. Schubert, if you could identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony, please.
Yes, thank you. First, I apologize for not being able to be at the hearing in person. For the record, my name is Gail Schubert, and I am the chair of the Alaska Retirement Management Board. Representative Weirach, I would like to thank you and the committee for your interest in addressing the PERS TERS underfunding issue and permitting the ARM Board to present to you this morning. As you are aware, the ARM Board was established in October 2005 as a result of the passage of Senate Bill 141. One of the most important provisions of SB 141 was direction to the board to prepare a report to the legislature with both short-term and long-term recommendations for addressing the unfunded liability of the retirement plans. On January 20th, the board submitted a report to the legislature that had several recommendations for improving the administration of the retirement systems. Most of those recommendations are being implemented or were already underway in the Division of Retirement and Benefits. We advised the legislature that it was the board's goal to identify funding strategies to fully fund the retirement obligations to our public employees with a minimal impact on the services to the residents of Alaska. Today we come before this committee to present our recommendations. In arriving at our recommendations, the board has heard presentations from numerous experts on topics ranging from pension obligation bonds to natural gas leases. The board utilized a committee structure to craft the report. The committee consists of four trustees, Commissioner Scott Nordstrand, Sam Trivett, myself, and Larry Simmons, who chaired the committee. We utilized the staffs of the Departments of Administration and Revenue. And for the record, I'd like to express the board's appreciation to both Mr. Simmons and staff for their efforts. On March 24, the Ways and Means Committee heard a presentation from the board's actuary stating that the combined unfunded liability of PERS and TERS has now grown to $6.9 billion. Clearly, the process of digging out of a $6.9 billion hole will not be pleasant, but we believe that delaying action will only make things worse. On April 10, the board voted to forward its plan to you for consideration. With the chair's permission, I'd like to ask Gary Bader to provide some background on the process that led to the recommendations, and then ask Larry Simmons, chair of the report committee, to explain the details of the recommendations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Schubert. I just also want to identify and recognize Mr. Martin Peel, who's served on the board. Mr. Peel's from Ketchikan and has a long history of good management with some other groups. So thank you for coming up, Mr. Peel. Mr. Bader, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a brief presentation, a slide presentation for the committee, just to give a little background on the things that the board and the committees have looked at in the process, and then Mr. Simmons will go into the details on the financial strategy that the board is recommending to be adopted to address the unfunded liability. First of all, I would say that the board looked at several strategies, large dollar strategies, which some of those have been presented in various committees in the House and some directly to the Ways and Means, large dollar strategies, incremental strategies. We've looked at our investment returns and whether or not we think there's potential for addressing this problem solely through that venue. And we have also talked to this committee about extending the amortization period that would be used. So we have large dollar strategies, which include pension obligation bonds and also a natural resource asset, namely gas leases have been proposed to the board and to the committee, and incremental strategies that exist in various pieces of legislation that the committee is familiar with, and we'll talk about some of those in some detail. First of all, on the topic of pension obligation bonds, the board heard presentations from the state financial consultants and legal advisors, Chester Johnson, Cynthia Weed, the board's financial consultant, Michael O'Leary, and Jeff Sins, representing the perspective of municipalities around the state. The pension obligation bonds, the board did not reach recommendation at this time on pension obligation bonds, but they may at some time in the future. It happens again.
Mr. Bader, on HB 278, which is your page 4, your slide 4, you write, HB 278 does not authorize any debt instruments to be issued. The state or municipality would need to take a separate action to use this new ability of the Municipal Bond Bank Authority. Assuming that HB 278 passed, that would provide a new ability of the Municipal Bond Bank Authority. Is that correct? Is that what you mean to say?
That's what we mean. That would be at the option of the political subdivision, but it is not proposed as a board strategy for dealing with the unfunded liability.
I see. And then when you also write that 278 does not authorize any debt instruments to be issued, is that a suggestion to amend 278 to allow the authorization of the debt instruments to be issued?
I guess I have to say I'm a bit out of my league on this. This is a municipal bond bank that would have the authority to do it. My understanding is that it would take some action by the municipal bond bank in order to issue those.
We'll come back. Go ahead.
Okay. The other large dollar amount considered was deposit of a large natural resource asset. In this case, I believe it started out to be or is a natural gas leases. That presentation was made to the committee. A number of issues were identified which I think have to be addressed before it could be viewed as a viable solution at this time. Constitutional issues, valuation issues, cash flow issues. Also considered, now we're into incremental approaches, and the committee borrowed from some of the approaches we're going to hear from about in the next few minutes. Past service cost offset account was one in which a long-term solution to assist communities with addressing the unfunded liability payments. It's a mechanism that aids employers as new defined contribution employees are added to the workforce, and it would attempt to cut the contributions made by communities, according to the information I've received, by 56% over a 25-year amortization period. One of the things embedded in that strategy that I think the committee found attractive was a systematic way of addressing the issues among communities. The past service cost offset account is something that was that would assist communities with a growing unfunded liability as well. It would aid employers as new defined contribution. Well, that's the same topic. HB 375, chair sponsored this bill. Money would be used for the payment of employer contributions for past service liabilities. At the time, I think there was companion legislation which would have been required to fund that account. At the time, it was suggested $400 million for TERS and $38 million for PERS. I think that the PERS amount was related to ability to capture federal funds or funds for employees that are funded by federal dollars. Then there's an unfunded liability relief account. As committee members may know, the rate set by the ARM board for this year incremented by 5%. It still isn't up to where the actuarial computed rate is required that would fund the system fully in 25 years. This legislation would be an attempt to bridge the gap between employer contribution rates set by the ARM for 2007 and the actuarial rate calculated by the state actuary.
The board also looked
at some of our history in terms of investment returns. In the past 3 years, investment returns have started to go up. Most of the, of course, the rates were, the whole system was reset back in, I believe, the year 2002, which captured a lot of losses. And now as we have sometimes higher than expected rates of return, they are incremented and phased in a smoothing mechanism. The rate earned by PERS for 2004 was 15%, in 2005 is 8.95%, and as of December, the rate of earnings, annualized rate of earnings, would be 14.44%. That's no guarantee that we're going to finish 2006 even above the actuarial rate, but it does indicate that recently we have been out-earning the actuarially assumed rate of 8.25% after expenses. This is a chart that we think is very important to the committee because it tells a story regardless of whether or not the the ARM board's solution is accepted by the legislature and the administration. This tells a story of what is needed. And the way this chart should be read is this first one is looking at the PERS system. And looking at the left column, it is saying, well, suppose you had an amortization period set at various times, 25, 30, 35, and 40 years, and an employer contribution rate of 16%, and the normal rate computed by the actuary is 21.32%, and then the consolidated rate for employees is 6.84, and so on. What this chart does is it says, what if you use some combination? Suppose you wanted to set the contribution rate for municipalities, let's say in this case at 21%. If you set it, if we wanted our communities to pay no more than 21%, it would say that the, and I'm sorry, this keeps blanking out on the,
I see what you're saying, though. You're holding that rate steady, and you're adjusting everything around it.
That's right. Just holding the rate steady, because one of the objectives of the board, and I think everybody, is to not have the community so impacted that they have to curtail essential public services. So if you wanted to set the rate steady at 21% and try and retire the obligation in, let's say, 30 years for PERS, set the rate at 21%. That means that somewhere another $150 million per year would have to be supplied to the system in order to lock the rate at 21% for PERS, which is about where we're at now.
By locking in the rate at, we're locking it in at, what, 21.3 or?
21 for the employer contribution rate.
Oh, you're. Well, you've got. You're not really locking it in. You've got six. Maybe help me interpret the data here. Or the chart. 16%, then 21%, then 26%. Which rate are you locking in of that?
The employer. If the employer contribution rate is set at 21%, and the employees would be giving on average 6.84%. we'd still have to supply another $150 million to the system in order to get fully funded in 30 years. So the 21% by itself isn't enough. It would require an additional increment.
So does dealing with the amortization period require a legislative action, or is that administrative?
Well, right now the amortization period is set by the ARM board. I would point out in HB 475 there's a section that would essentially set the amortization rate at 30 years. You won't find 30 years, but it says according to GAAP. If that section in HB 475 is adopted, if the legislature should ultimately want to adopt a strategy that is a 40-year amortization, it would be in conflict with the legislation in HB 475.
Then, by doing that, you would have to you'd have to go hand in hand with an appropriation then as well, too, wouldn't you? Or it doesn't do any good.
Yes, any one of these strategies would require an additional contribution, either from employers or from the legislature and executive. But we think this is a useful table in terms of shaping the size of the problem. If we can't talk in terms of a $7 billion appropriation, which I'm sure we can't, then we need to talk in terms of what does it take incrementally, and this gives an array of options. The next table relates to the teacher's retirement system and lays it out in the same terms. Once again, a 30-year amortization. If the school districts were told that their contribution rate is going to be 21%, it would take another $100 million a year to have the system fully funded in 30 years. Some of the other policies that the ARM board considered and are embedded in the report is suggesting that there be no enhancement to PERS and TERS benefits for at least 2 years. In the first draft of the report that came to the legislature, it said one. We recently got the report from Buck, said the unfunded liability has grown additionally, so the board amended its language to 2 years. There's also a suggestion in the board report to index any health deductible in the new plan and other similar benefits, to have them indexed so that they don't become a larger part of the new health plan over time. And retirement benefits is pursuing that objective, I believe, as they craft the new the health plan for the new retirement system. There, of course, is a suggestion that there be a new retirement plan for new members, not just necessarily the old plan. And as I said earlier, retirement benefits is working on that.
Mr. Bader?
Yes, sir.
Back up. No enhancements to PERS and TERS benefits for at least 2 years. It seems for at least 2 years. I mean, we're talking in terms of double-digit years problem, but this 2 years seems not quite so bold. In other words, this is an issue that's going to face TERS and PERS beneficiaries for decades, not just a matter of a couple of years. I mean, how are we saying that really, aren't we realistically talking no enhancement to TERS and TERS benefits until there's somehow we have some solutions more solidly implemented?
That would, I'm sure, be the desire of the board. But
so it's almost an indefinite no enhancement.
I would agree. Yep. If they were to issue this report every year, I'm sure it would continue to have the next 2 years and so on in it. But keeping in mind that this is the prerogative of the legislature, I don't think the board wanted to be too presumptuous.
Well, I think the legislature needs to get his mind around the problem, and I think that the problem is going to extend beyond 2 years. It's probably going to extend beyond 2 times 10 years, unless we substantially appropriate funds, which in the near term, I don't see happening.
I agree.
Okay, thank you. Now we're joined by Representative Olson.
Many of the other short-term recommendations, the Division of Retirement Benefits has been before this committee and are addressing many issues with the new health plan, and some of the things in the report, they were Vision Retirement Benefits was already working on even before the board was established, but the board felt that that it was worthwhile having it in its report to the legislature.
And again, these are issues that the executive branch is already working on.
That's
that
correct.
That do not require legislative involvement at this point.
Correct.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative Gunberg.
Thank you for including these, some of the initiatives that I'm working on. But I was wondering if you have worked on any estimates of what incremental changes to either the preferred provider programs would do or the negotiated drug prices would do.
The board has not specifically done that. The Division of Retirement Benefits has done some work with looking into those programs in the past. I'd have to defer to them. Okay. The board is focused mostly on the financial aspects and not the programmatic aspects. So what are the goals? The goals that the committee and the board have adopted: full funding of the systems over 30 years. Another goal is to not cause severe disruption in public services. Another goal is a belief that there should be some state participation in the solution. Another goal is that accelerated contributions from employers should be rewarded. Each employer in the PERS system has its own rate, and if they should attempt to address their unfunded liability more aggressively than others, the board believes that that should be rewarded. There's also belief that the state support to municipalities should be equitable, that it ought to be done on some sort of a systematic plan, and we'll propose, Mr. Simmons will have the details of that plan for you in just a minute, and that the state should minimize supplanting federal funds and other non-general fund costs. And this suggestion was made at one of your committee meetings last summer. Representative Wyrock, Mr. Teal talked about that. So given these objectives, the board went about crafting a number of possible solutions. And I turn the floor to Mr. Simmons, with your permission, to give details of that.
Sure, that's great.
I find it ironic. Commissioner Corbis has been here for 26 minutes and the words oil and tax have not been stated. Mr. Simmons.
Thank you, Chair Wyrock and members of this committee. Thank you very much for your interest in providing us this time. What I'd like to do is turn your attention to this report, the actual report that's titled Alaska Retirement Management Board Final Report to the Legislature, dated April 14th.
Mr. Simmons, has this been distributed yet to the legislature? You plan to do that after today?
I believe it has been.
It's already been distributed.
Okay. Thank you.
If you would, please turn to page 13 of the report. The On Board acknowledges that it's late in the legislative session for consideration of additional appropriation legislation, and we appreciate the endeavors of the legislators and committees and staff to address unfunded liability. However, it is in the best interest of the retirement systems for the legislature to address the underfunding of the systems, both in fiscal 07 and 08 budget process, or the unfunded liability will very likely continue to grow. This Arm Board is proposing short and long term solutions, and we prioritize these as priorities 1, 2, and 3 in this report. Priority 1 for PERS establishes a past service retirement liability account, well, for both PERS and TERS. They have slightly different names, but the idea here is that we establish an account, we provide a method to calculate a specific amount annually to be included in the governor's budget. It's applicable to political subdivisions and school district employer members of PERS. As we heard, it provides incentives for employers to pay down their unfunded liability. And one key point that I think employers need to be aware of is that it anticipates that the ARM board would set the employer contribution rate at the actuarially required rate. You may know that this year, for the fiscal 07 budget, the ARM board did not set the rate at the actuarially required rate. We set the rate 5 points above the prior year rate. What that means is that the system will be underfunded unless there's further contributions. The amount calculated would be based on the total eligible payroll reported to the Department of Administration by the employers during the fiscal year 3 years earlier, and the average past service cost rate of all employers in the system during the fiscal year 3 years earlier, or the employer's past service cost rate during the fiscal year 3 years earlier, less 5%. What that is we're saying that to fully fund this, if the system is fully funded, employers would pay the lower of the average past service cost rate or their own past service cost rate less 5%. So the most that the state would contribute to an employer that's listed here is the average past service rate of all employers. In order to provide incentives to employers to pay down their unfunded liability, that amount would be increased by 50% of the amount an employer paid to the system during the fiscal year 3 years earlier. And you might wonder, well, why do you pick fiscal year 3 years earlier? And it is because that is the latest actuarial data that we will have when budgets are being formulated. Teachers' retirement system, we've established a past service liability account. This recommendation provides a method to calculate a specific amount to be included in the governor's budget. We think that's critical, that the amount needs to be able to be calculated and included in the governor's budget. It's applicable to all TERS employers, and again, it anticipates that the ARM board would set the employer contribution rate at the actuarially required rate, which, if you'll remember, exceeds 42% for this year. There's a difference in the TERS solution in that the calculated amount to distribute would be based on 85% of the total eligible payroll reported by the department or reported to the department by the employer during the fiscal year 3 years earlier. And the reason for that is to, as Mr. Bader mentioned, capture the full cost of those federally funded programs that school districts have. We have, in this process, we have provided to you suggested legislation language. We understand that this would have to have your review as well as perhaps other review. We have provisions in here that should the amount that is funded by this program exceed the past service liability of any employer, that those funds would be returned to the account. In other words, if you don't have a past service liability, you won't get money under this program. So that's the long-term, that's our long-term recommended solution. We also are recommending as priority two that the legislature essentially duplicate the program that was in Senate Bill 46 last year. And that is on page 14 of this report. Last year, the legislature appropriated approximately $17-something million for aid. I call it PERS aid to municipalities. And we recommend that the board do the same thing this year. But what is different about this year is that employers will also have a 5% increase. So this would make our recommendation a matching program, a 50-50 matching program. And I can just say that from my own chair at the city of Kenai, the impact, the full impact of a 10% increase in PERS for fiscal 07 is significant. And I'm sure that municipal employers would very much appreciate the legislature repeating the PERS aid program that was done for fiscal year 06. The last priority, and it's by no means the phrase is last but not least, is that the legislature appropriate funds to meet the actuarially required amount to fully fund the system this year. As you know, this amount would be the amount that's needed over the next 25 years. This is not to fully fund the system, in other words, to have assets equal liabilities by any means. That takes the $6.9 million figure. What we're saying here is that if the legislature or the employers don't contribute more than the amounts required by the Arm Board's rates, then the system will most likely fall further behind. So in order to do that, the actuarially required amount for PERS is $461 million. The estimated amount that will be contributed is $351 million, a difference of $110 million. We want to bring this to the attention of the legislature, and our recommendation is that funding be provided for this amount. For TERS, the amount that the actuary says should be contributed is $261 million. The estimated amount that will be contributed is $163 million, a difference of $98 million. We understand that these are large numbers, that this is late in the session, but we feel that it is important for us to communicate to you the magnitude of the shortfall. Mr. Chairman, that is our recommendation.
Let me just run some of the comments I've heard by you and get a response. Well, we don't have to pay this now, so it's really not a big problem. It's a future problem.
That is an accurate statement, but it's a problem that will never go away if we don't pay this now. It's just like your home mortgage. If you pay now, you will save a great deal of money in interest over the life of the loan. The same thing is true here. Some folks believe that we'll never have to pay this, but that simply isn't true. We will have to pay this, and it's our opinion that getting started on it now is far better than delaying and increasing the amount that we'll pay over time.
Second comment. This benefits teachers and government employees, and I don't have very many in my district, so what do I have to worry about?
That is an incorrect statement. It does not benefit teachers or public employees, because those benefits are guaranteed by the state constitution. We will provide those benefits. What this really benefits is the people of Alaska by reducing the amount of money that they will pay over time. At this time of surplus is an ideal time to pay down our debt. It will save Alaskans money. It will not impact those municipal or teacher employees, because their benefits are guaranteed. We will pay for those.
And other comment, I hear a lot about this in the news, about all this unfunded liability stuff, but it hasn't affected services that I get from the government in my community.
Hold on to your hat, because very soon it will. And I believe that for many municipal employers, it already has. When PERS rates go to 32% for employers, it will impact services, or it will impact the amount of taxes that municipal governments will levy to meet these needs. So if there has not been an impact so far, I can only say that that is a testimony to the management ability of municipal employers to cover these increasing costs, and also the fact that the state of Alaska contributed 5% last year and covered the full cost of the increase last year. As we go forward, unless there is similar PERS aid and TERS aid, there will be significant impacts.
Another comment is, we just passed retirement reform last year. The problem solved. What do we have to deal with it now?
The retirement legislation that was passed last year does impact the growth of future liabilities, but it does not in any way pay off the unfunded liability of the past. We need to deal with that today and in the future.
Okay, other comment is, it looks like some sort of oil taxation policy reform is going to be adopted by the legislature in one form or another. Won't that solve the problem?
Chair Wyrock, I don't know exactly how to respond to that. If the reform legislation generates additional dollars to the state of Alaska, then perhaps those dollars will make it easier to address this problem, but nevertheless, the problem will have to be addressed at the levels that we've shown you here today, $150 million a year.
Representative Gutman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How does the loss of new employees coming into the program affect it long-term? And have we created new liabilities for the program by not having people coming in as a result of passing Senate Bill 141?
The lack of new employees coming in, if there were no new employees, in other words, allowing attrition to reduce the ranks of public employees, would have the effect of raising the rates that each public employer would have to pay. They still owe the same, say at City of Kenai, we still owe the same $12 million. But, and so we have to pay that back, whether we have one employee or 100 employees. We're going to pay that $12 million back. So fewer employees would raise rates. Now, under the new legislation, Senate Bill 141, I don't expect the number of employees to decline for that because of that legislation. And the fix that's in House Bill 475 would make it clear that the payroll upon which the past service liability rate would apply is on the total employee base, including Tier 4 and all prior years. So House Bill 475 is intended to fix the question of reducing the number of employees whose payroll would apply to this past service liability.
I would like to put Mr. Peel on the spot, if you could, sir.
I said no.
I do want to put you on the spot, though, because Governor Murkowski appointed you to this board. I think, and from what I understand in your background, you've worked long and hard in the private sector in the Ketchikan mill and pulp area. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And have you ever been a public employee?
No.
Okay. From your view, from the private sector, and you're retired now, sir?
Yes.
Okay. From your view, from your experience in the private sector as a retiree, and you have your own private pension dollars, is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. Could I get your take as a citizen and also a member of the Armed Board about how this affects the state's fiscal situation, its retirement, and its relationship with public employees as a private person who's retired? and your view on the recommendations the Armed Board has made.
Well, I think the recommendations are pretty well laid out. I would emphasize the gravity of the problem. If this were corporate America, you'd be dealing with quite a different manner, with the RESA coming down on you. And I can only conclude that the state itself has a very heavy responsibility in why we're where we're at. You have to say the state is kind of the sponsor of these pension plans across the state, whether they're public employees or and administer the plans, set the contribution rates, misled by actuaries, legislative action taken by previous legislatures, compounded, gave benefits in ways that you didn't know what the price tag was. And the other gravity is the need to look at it and do something now. You got to look at the cash flow of what's coming in and employer contribution versus what's going out in benefits. And we got a cash flow problem. So I would emphasize the need to do something now and start fix now.
I'm joined by Representative Green.
When you look at when the number was 5.7 billion, public employees was 3.4. I don't have the update to 6.9, but at 5.7, public employees was 3.4, and the state employees was 2.2. And in the case of the teachers, 2.3 billion. The state funds about 70% of education, right? So easy to know where the dollars would have come from if we'd have funded it fully. So it's a huge problem. But the sooner we address it, it's going to take money.
Okay.
And I like the idea of a possible fix through a few gas wells.
You're joined by Representative Grunberg. And I too appreciated that idea, the idea of sort of dedicating future gas and being able to monetize that and dealing with the fund issues and all that. Presents unique issues that it's going to take some more time to cook on that legislation. But
I agree.
And I appreciate Representative Grunberg offering the opportunity for me to catch some wind. The last thing you want to do is give a politician more wind. But does anybody else from the committee have a comment or question? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. I apologize. We were plotting and scheming in my office on something else. So. You had mentioned something, Mr. Thiel, and maybe somebody else had mentioned it.
Thiel,
Mr. Thiel, I'm sorry. You mentioned we were misled by actuaries. Go ahead about that.
You know, I only kind of know a touch about that.
Well, I don't want to put you on the speed. Is there anybody else who wants to step in on that?
Well, my understanding is that the legislature was told that to increase the benefits, you could do it without increased contribution rates. I think Mr. Bader could probably expound on that. But I think this has happened. You know, you don't get to $6.9 billion without a combination of a lot of mistakes. You just can't get there without mistakes, and I call it say some abuses. I get chastised by using that word, but it's a combination of mismanagement, mistakes, legislative actions that were not too well informed by prior legislatures, actuarial work that was using national data for Alaska doesn't work. We're a young state building Providence Hospital. Got to pay for it. Got to pay for it in the rates.
Mr. Chair, this is kind of a call of the chair. I am concerned about things like statutes of limitation and stuff, and I'm prepared to ask a few questions on that. Is that within the scope of this hearing?
I think that no one here is from the AG's office, and I think that a lot of this would be deferred to legal counsel and legal analysis. I'll talk to you after the meeting about what's going on and what I think your questions might be.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Anybody else? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the report. I know this was a lot of work. It was things coming out of Senate Bill 141 last year created a lot of issues, both good and bad. And your report and your short-term recommendations, my earlier comment to you about pursuing these in a more heavy-handed fashion. I mean, you are the armed board. As far as the health care issues, mostly what you're dealing with here, from my perspective, is financial ways, whether it's pension obligation bonds or increased contributions, deal with trying to get that under control. But I would like to see you take a more aggressive stand, because somebody needs to, on dealing with rising health care costs, because that's a big part of your obligation. You know, you're tasked with managing the board, and I think somebody in this state and in this nation is going to have to take a much stronger look at that, because the seven pieces of legislation I have deal with it. So it's out of control and it's completely inconsistent. And our people of the state of Alaska, both in this system and private citizens, what they're paying for the cost of medical health care and prescription drugs is rising beyond what it should be. And I think the board should take a much more aggressive stand on driving that cost down, which would clearly affect the costs of this unfunded liability. Somebody needs to, and this board, which hopefully will span multi-administrations, should look at that so that it's not one administration or another having a policy driven by anything except getting a better control on these liabilities and having a retirement system for Alaskans that would affect all citizens of the state. So I would like to see you do that in the future. I know you've a big accomplishment getting this out in a timely manner. So from here, I would love to see what you do with it and work with you on those measures.
Thank you. Yes, we do. Your permission, we do have a health committee, and we are looking at ways to control those costs, and it is a big item that's on our to-do list. Thank you, though, for
sure.
Encouraging us.
A couple things. The healthcare cost management is probably the biggest problem associated with most of these national problems, not just Alaska. So that we're going to have to deal with that in a more global manner. The armed board is originally tasked with bringing something to the legislature earlier than this day, but I do appreciate the time and energy and thought that went into this report and also the specific suggestions, because one of the things we had talked to you about, and I don't think maybe other committees or legislators had asked for, specific hard-nosed solutions proposed that we could deal with, because I think you have to start from the most conservative, most aggressive solution, because the political process results in things you don't like a lot of times. So thank you for doing that. Maybe the time delay was worth it. But it is getting late in the session, so what we can do is unknown, very unknown. So let me ask you this. If you had one wish and you could only do one thing that you recommend here, what would the armed board's recommendations wish be?
It's articulated, Mr. Chairman, in priority one. It is the long-term solution. The armed board is very concerned about the long term. So while the other two priorities are important, we did prioritize this such that we feel that the long-term solution is the most important thing.
Establishing a past service retirement liability accounts?
correct. And a method for funding them and getting those dollars in the next fiscal year 2008 budget cycle.
So it's not only establishing the accounts, but appropriating money.
Correct.
So those are two wishes.
It's one priority, but Mr. Bader.
Well, Mr. Chair, for me, it's one priority is to establish the mechanism. The funding would, in my judgment, begin with the 2008 budget, because the legislation would be passed. If the legislation was passed this year, then it would be a directive to use the legislation in terms of establishing appropriation in 2008.
All right.
So it would not necessarily require funding this year to priority one by itself.
I see. So the establishing mechanism is one thing, Representative Greenberg. Commissioner Corbis, one of the things that this committee has tried to do is come up with creative ways to get money without calling it a tax. And we've done that for 4 years now. Is there any way that you see that we can creatively fund this liability without general fund appropriation or taxes?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not aware of any such mechanism.
Let me ask a follow-up. Are you aware of any specific pool of money that we could get money from to address the appropriation issue? Let me rephrase that. Are you aware of a pool of money you would prefer to see get money from to make the appropriations?
Mr. Chairman, no, I'm not. To me, the appropriate place is the general fund.
Okay. Representative Greenberg.
Mr. Chair, as you said, time is getting late. We have some proposed draft legislation, both for the public employees retirement system in Appendix 1 and for the teachers retirement system in Appendix 2 of the report. And I'd like to make a conceptual motion, Mr. Chair, just to get the ball rolling, that our committee introduce legislation like that.
Well, I've considered that, Representative Greenberg, as a special committee. We don't have within the rules to introduce legislation. We could ask a standing committee to do it by request, and that's probably the mechanism we would do.
That would be my respectful suggestion.
And we'll talk with committee chairs in the speaker's office about appropriate way to do that. Further comments? Questions, anyone? Opinions by the Arm Board or wrap up, anyone? Mr. Trivett, you haven't had an opportunity.
Just say, Mr. Chair, that thank you very much for taking the time to hear us today. And we have spent several time on this. The vote is unanimous by the entire board of this. I did participate in the work of the committee, I think this represents the best we can come up with now. I think some of the issues that you raised today have been looked at previously in terms of how we got where we're at, and I think we have a lot of information. We got some new information. Unfortunately, we found out that in our latest actuarial report, there were some other mistakes made by the previous actuary that just came to light last month, and we're aware of that, we're going to do whatever we can to try to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Ms. Schubert, are you still online?
I am.
Do you want to provide any concluding remarks?
Just that we'd like to thank you for the opportunity for input in this process. We know that it's a huge issue, and that the legislature has a lot of work to do to try to help us as we also try to work to improve or continue our good investment results to deal with this issue.
All right. Anybody else? Committee, final opportunity. All right. Seeing none, committee's adjourned.
You're up.